We are doing the book of Daniel, and we are now shifting in the book of Daniel from the dreams of the kings to the visions and dreams of Daniel. And now we have to pay very close attention, because until now we had descriptions that were very vague about when Mashiach is coming, when the four kingdoms will end. Until now we had, which dream was the first dream we had? Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the idol, right? Yeah. What other dream did we have?
The tree.
The tree. We had two dreams. We also had the writing on the wall, right? Now we move on. We are up to what they call the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. Things are going to become less and less clear as we move on in the book. Our sages tell us that Yonatan ben Uziel wanted to write a translation of the book, and Hashem said, don't. Because if you understand the remaining part of the book, you will know when Mashiach is coming. And so we will, as we advance, we will see that a little bit later, the angel will tell Daniel, hide it. Don't make it easy. Make it very hard for people to figure out what you're saying. I'm going to show you when Mashiach's going to come, and you're going to record it in the book, but you have to put it in a way that people will not be able to understand. So from this point inward, from this verse, from where we're up to now, what they call the seventh chapter, till the end of the book, we're going to see the book becoming more and more complex and difficult, and that's why people generally, like, they're not up to this. And we might actually come up with some interesting things, if you guys don't bounce on me too hard as we go along. We will read, try to understand, and see what we understand. Let's begin. Bishnat Chada. It was the first year of Belshazzar, Melech Bavel. So we reversed. We went back to Belshazzar. Remember, we have Nebuchadnezzar, destroys the Beit HaMikdash. He is king for 45 years. After Nebuchadnezzar, his son Evil Merodach is king for 23 years. And then Belshazzar is king for 2 years, and in the third year is when he goes to war against Persia Mede, and he thinks that the Jews are gone. The 70 years of Babylon have been finished, and the Jews were not redeemed, right? 45 plus 23 equals 68, right? 23 plus 2 years of his reign equals 70. When he enters the third year of his reign, he says, nope, the Navi said Babylon will only last 70 years. We've entered our 71st year. The Jews weren't redeemed. We did it. And then he takes out the temple, the vessels of the temple. He says, that's it, the Jews are gone. And that night the writing appears on the wall. And with that, the Babylonian Empire is destroyed that night. So now we've gone back to Belshazzar's first year. Daniel chelem chaza. Daniel saw a dream. V'chesvei reishei al mishkevei. His thoughts went up in his sleep as he was lying down. Beidain chelmachetav reish milin amar. Then he wrote down his dream. He wrote the headlines. Reish milin. He didn't write the details. What did Daniel see in his dream? Anei Daniel v'amar. Daniel called out and said, chazei haveit. I saw the following in the vision of the night. Vahu, and behold, the four directions of the world. We have winds from all four sides. Megichan liyama raba. They are causing great turmoil in the great sea. So he sees the ocean. He sees the great sea. And there are winds coming from all four sides. And there's turbulence in the sea. And four amazing creatures come out of the sea. Shanyan da minda. They are different one from the other. Kadmaita che'ariye. The first one was like a lion. Vigapindi nesharla. And it had wings of eagles. Now you know where some nations have this picture of lions with wings of eagles. Sometimes on the Arna Kodesh you see lions with wings of eagles. Now we know a source for that. Lions with the first creature that he sees coming out of the river, out of the sea, is the shape of a lion with wings of eagles. So it's some type of kingdom, right? Lion represents kingdom. Eagle represents king of the birds. Chazei Aveit. I was watching, Adimiritu gapa, and I watched as they plucked away its feathers, Untilat minara, and it was removed from the ground, Val raglin kena shakimat. So he's seeing the Babylonian Empire, the first empire, the head of gold. And it ends up standing on human feet. And it was weakened to the point where it was given a human heart. It began as this great creature, and it slowly lost its wings, and it slowly ended up being a mere mortal. Okay, creature number one has lost its might. It's no longer this awesome, amazing, scary lion with wings of eagles. It is a simple person. Next. Vahu cheva achori tinyana. And behold, a second animal, a second wild creature. Damyaledov. That second one was like a bear. Velistarcha dakimat. And a second creature came out of the ocean, and it looked like a bear. This represents the Persian Empire. The Persians were big, husky people. They had a lot of hair. They used to drink a lot of wine. And they were very corpulent. They were big, big sumo wrestlers. You're talking about very, very big people. So that's why they're compared to a bear. Velistar chad akimat. And it stood on one side. So this shows the idea that the Persian Empire will take over the Babylonian Empire, and they're going to wait a year as the Mede Empire has the throne. Remember, they switched off. Darius the Mede, Daryavish Hamadi, was the one who led the campaign which won the Babylonian Empire. The next year he died at war, and his son-in-law, Koresh, the Persian, took the throne. So that's why this creature is standing on the side, because it's come out of the sea, the Persian Empire, and it waits a year before it really takes the throne. Initially, Koresh, the son-in-law, was the second in command, and now he takes the throne. Now, all this...
The first enemy is Babel?
Yes. Babel was the lion with wings of eagles, and now we move on to Paras. Utlat il'in befuma. It had three ribs in its mouth. Ben shina, between its teeth. Our sages say the Persian Mede Empire had three countries that were constantly rebelling. They'd put down the rebellion and live in peace, and then they'd get their act together again and rebel a second time. And this kept going throughout the Persian Mede Empire. So that's the idea over here of the ribs in between its mouth, that sometimes it consumed them and sometimes it didn't. This was a constant in the Persian Mede Empire. So we have three ribs in its mouth. The rib is called Ilain. Ilain could also mean greatness. And that's the idea that it took three kings in the Persian Mede Empire before they ascended to the greatness of rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash. You had Koresh, the son-in-law of Darius. Then you had Achashverosh. And then after Achashverosh, his son Darius, Daryavesh, was the one who gave license to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash, the son of Esther and Achashverosh. So that's another interpretation to the idea that this creature has three ilin, three ribs or greatness in its teeth. V'chein amrinna, and this is what was said to this great creature, kumi achuli besar sagi, get up and consume a tremendous amount of meat. The Persian Mede Empire spanned the world. And they created great infrastructure and they ruled with an iron fist. Batal duna, after this second creature, chazei avet, I saw, v'ahu achori kinmar, and behold, there was another creature like a leopard, v'la gapin arba, and it had four wings, di'of, of a bird, al gaba, on its back, four wings. That's the idea that Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedon, when he died, so his kingdom was divided into four. So this third kingdom is the kingdom of Antiochus. It's the kingdom of the Macedonian, the Greek Macedonian Empire, which would ultimately be Alexander the Great and ultimately be divided into four. Why is it called Namer, like a leopard? Because a leopard has all kinds of spots. It's not a constant, it's not a set color. So there isn't a constant in the leopard. When you look at the leopard, you see all kinds of, here his color changes, there his color changes. So the leopard represents inconsistencies. So too, the Macedonian Greek Empire was an empire that was inconsistent. We never knew what decrees they would invent against us. One day they forbade circumcisions. One day they forbade Shabbos. One day, every time they came up with new decrees, there was inconsistency in that empire. And this creature had four heads. And it was given rulership. That's the Greek Macedonian Empire. Batar dina. After that, Chazayavet, I was seeing, because Veleli on the vision of the light of the night, a different night. The first night he saw the first three. He can handle that. These were kingdoms that were finite, right? Every one of these kingdoms reached an end point. Now he's going to see a vision on a separate night, which corresponds. The fourth kingdom is going to correspond to all three. What we've suffered at the hands of the Edom Yishmael kingdom is equivalent to all three put together. If you calculate the years, it outdoes all of them. And that's why he gets a separate night to see the vision of the fourth kingdom. And behold, there was a fourth creature. Techila ve'imtani ve'takifa yatira. It was very scary and awesome and powerful. And it had metal teeth that were huge. It just bit and destroyed. It would grind things to dust. And whatever it didn't eat, it trampled with its feet. And it was different than any other creature I had seen beforehand. And it had 10 horns. So, what are those 10 horns? So, the angel will tell him later on that the 10 horns represent the 10 kings that will rule in Rome until they destroy the Beit HaMikdash. I was looking at the horns. Va'alu, and behold, keren achori ze'ira silkat beinehon. A small horn started growing between the 10. Utlat min kanaya kadmaita itakara min kadama. And 3 of the previous horns got uprooted to make room for this one horn that was growing. Va'alu aynin, and behold, I saw it had eyes. Ka'aynai anasha bekarnada. This one horn that plucked out 3 horns to make room as it was growing, it had human eyes in it. Ufum, and it had a mouth. Mimalal gavravan, that was speaking great arrogance. Our sages say this is Titus, who was the most arrogant, who came into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. Chazei Avait, I was watching. Adichal Savan Remiv, till they removed the chairs. I'm sorry, till they brought in the chairs. Remik means to throw. So it could either mean to throw down or to throw out. So over here, it means chairs were established. The atik, you'll mean yetiv. And the old one of ancient age was sitting. And this is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will come to judge at the end of these four kingdoms. So now we've seen a new vision of the four kingdoms. And the fourth kingdom is described as having 10 horns, and three of them will be uprooted by one. That one will have eyes and a mouth that speaks in great arrogance. And then he sees the old one, Atik Yomin, the one of ancient days, sitting on the throne. Levushei kitlag chivar. His dress is like white snow. This is the basis for the Sephardi custom that they wear talitot that are completely white, because the Ribbono Shel Olam shows Daniel a vision of God dressed in complete white. And we know that Hashem was wearing a talit when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the vision. So the Sephardim, based on this, have a completely white talit. Usar reishei, and the hair on his head was ka'amar neke, like clean wool. The Ribbono Shel Olam is represented as being clean, clean, clean. Yes, these four kingdoms represent great suffering for the Jewish people, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's going to judge them, is clean. Kosye, his throne, shivivin dinu, is like, I don't know how you translate the word shivivin. His throne is made of flames of fire, maybe. You understand that that's like saying fiery fire, yeah? Okay. His throne was sparkling, or it had flashes of fire, or it had sparks of fire. Galgiloi nur dalek. The wheels of his throne were burning flames. Nehal dinur, a river of fire. Naged v'nafek min kodamoi, was flowing from the throne that the old one, which is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, was sitting on. Elef alfim yeshamshune, a million were there serving before Hashem. V'ribo rivevan, and that's 10,000 times 10,000, that's 8 zeros. What is that?
8 zeros, 100 million.
100 million. Kodamoy, we're standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dina yetiv v'sifrin petichu. Hashem sat in judgment, and the books were opened. You got to speak up.
He said that it would hide the amount of time. Why are we repenting if we know there's going to be
repentance? Let's see what he has to say, and we'll see if we still have questions when we're done. You're asking based on hearing what he said. We didn't hear him yet. When we finish, we'll see. Chazei aveit, I saw. Beidain then min kol milaya rav revata. You remember there was that horn that had a mouth that was speaking in great arrogance. Dikarna memalela, that the horn was saying. Chazei aveit adi ketilat chiveta vehuvad gishma. I was watching as that fourth animal was killed and its body was destroyed. Vihivat, and it was given likeidat esha, into the burning fire. Ushal chevata, and the remaining creatures, he'ediv shultanon, their rulership was removed. Ve'archa v'chayin yivat lehon at zeman v'idan. They were given an extension of life till a certain time would come. So there's a description here that this fourth kingdom will be destroyed and eradicated. However, the other three will outlast the fourth, and they will be given an extension of existence without rulership. And there will be a set time where their existence will end. Rashi says that set time is the war of Gog and Magog. Rashi says that first, the fourth empire will be destroyed, and then the remaining empires will be given an extension without any substantial rulership. However, all the remaining empires will unite against Israel in the final war of Gog and Magog. So according to Rashi, the war of Gog and Magog will be without the fourth kingdom. That's how Rashi learns. The fourth kingdom will be lost. So if you want to learn that the fourth kingdom was Germany, for example, maybe, there still remains a war which will not include them. Whoever that fourth kingdom is or was, according to Rashi, the evolvement is going to be the fourth kingdom will disappear, they will lose their strength, and the remaining kingdoms will still unite in a war against Israel in Gog and Magog. Hazayavet, yes?
Two questions. These books that it says they said in judgment that the books were open, does it have any relation, a connection to Rosh Hashanah?
Seems yes, but I don't know. Because there are different types of books. There's a book that's judged every year, and there's a book for the end of time. And this might be a different book.
Okay. And
but it says number of books are open. So the question is which books these are. Yes.
These wars, for example, the war that the fourth kingdom will be destroyed,
it doesn't say it will be the war. No. It doesn't say how.
Okay.
It says so it, can be like it says it will be burnt.
Other kingdoms.
It doesn't say. It says it will be burnt. Says it lost its body and its body was thrown into a burning fire. But it doesn't say how the fourth kingdom will go. I didn't hear you.
What you mean, like,
do
we know that's supposed to be fire?
I don't know that fire over here literally means fire. This is a vision. I don't know what fire represents in the vision. I don't know. Chazei Aveit, I was seeing b'chazvei Lelia in the vision of the night. V'ahu, and behold, imananei Shmaya, with the clouds. The clouds were approaching. Kivarenash atei hava. It seemed like a human was coming on the clouds. So he sees the vision until here, and now there's a man coming on clouds. It's the Mashiach approaching. Ve'adatik yomaya mita, and he comes to the old one, the ancient one, the one who is of ancient days. That's a reference to Hashem, who is judging. So the Mashiach is coming to him. Ukodamoi hakrivui, and they bring him close before the Ribono Shel Olam. Ve'lei yehiv sholtan vikar umalchu. And that man is given the rulership and glory and kingship. And all the nations, nationalities, and languages, they are his subjects. They serve under him. His rulership is a rulership that's eternal, that will never be removed. And his kingship will never be harmed. This is a different description of Mashiach than we know from Rambam. Et kiriyat ruchi. Et kiriyat ruchi. I, Daniel, deep down inside, my spirit was uprooted. Anna Daniel begod nidne, inside my body, so to speak, that is the vessel of my soul was uprooted. I was so scared after I saw that vision. I saw this dream, I saw what awaits the Jewish people, and it was as though my soul was uprooted. And the visions I saw scared me to a point of uprooting my soul from my body. I felt like I had just been rattled to the core. Kirveit al-chad min ka'amaya. And so I approached one of those who were standing in Hashem's presence. In other words, there are angels. He said there are millions and millions of angels there. So he approached one of them. V'yatsiva ev'eiminei al-koldina. And I asked him, tell me the truth about what I just saw. Explain to me, what just happened here? V'amarli, and he explained it to me. Ufshar milaya yehode inani. And the explanation of what I saw, he let me know. Ilein chevata ravrevata. These four awesome creatures, the inin arba, you saw four, arba malchin yikumun minara. Four kings will come on earth. V'kabelun malchuta, and they will receive their kingdom, and ultimately, kadishei elyonim, the holy ones of above, meaning the people of Israel, will ultimately receive their kingship. V'yachsenun malchuta ad alma v'ad olam olmaya. And they will establish a kingship which will be powerful and fortified forever. Edain, seviyat liyatzavam. Then, I wanted to understand the truth. Al chiveta revi'ayita. I wanted to know about that fourth creature. The avat shanya min kolhen, that was different than all the other ones. The chila yatira, it was much more scary. Shina difalzel, it had teeth of metal, vitifradi nechash, and it had hooves of copper, achlama deka, whatever it consumed, it wiped out, it annihilated. Ushara beragla rafsam, whatever remained, it destroyed with its legs. Valkanaya asar divresha, and its 10 horns on its head, vachoridi silkat, and that other horn that came up, unfala min kadma telat, and three fell in its place. That horn that was like that had eyes. Ufum memalil ravrevan, and its mouth was speaking in such arrogance. V'chesva rav min chavrata, that horn seemed more awesome than the other horns. So I wanted to understand that fourth creature. Daniel said, I wanted to understand the fourth kingdom. Chazeavet v'karna diken avda keravim kadishin. And what I saw initially was that horn went to battle, and its battle was focused against the Jews. The fourth kingdom, which had a final king, which that horn represents, that horn that would go up and up and up, well, I saw that it focused its battle against the holy ones, against the Jews. V'yachla lehon. And I saw that horn succeed and win the Jews. I saw that too, and that's what scared me. And so I turned to the angel and I said, explain, adiata tikyo maya, and the Jews were finished. And it only stopped when the one of ancient days, Hashem, came into the scene, v'dina yehiv l'kadishei elyonim, and he judged, and he decided that he sees that the holy ones, the Jewish people, they're the ones who are just in the case. And then Hashem gave it a deadline, and then the kingship was returned to the holy ones. But I saw how this fourth kingdom would be victorious and succeed and focus its energies against the Jews and succeed against them. So this is what the angel told me. That fourth animal, there will be a fourth kingship on earth. It will be different than any other kingdom that preceded it. It will consume all of earth. And it will trample and destroy everything. You saw 10 horns? You should know there will be 10 kings in that kingdom. And afterwards, one will arise. He will be different than all his predecessors. He will be able to put down 3 kings. So our sages interpreted this to be Titus. And he will speak in great arrogance against God. And he will wipe out the holy ones, meaning he will succeed in afflicting the Jews. And he will think that he can uproot the Jewish calendar, the Jewish religion. V'yitiyahavun bidei, and the Jews will be given into his hands. Ad, when will all this end, this fourth kingdom? And here Daniel reveals to us the secret of when Mashiach is coming. He tells us 4 words. Idan, v'idanin, uflagidan. You want to know when it will all end? There will be a time, and there will be times, and there will be half a time.
That is the part that up to now I don't understand.
Slowly. So the angel tells him, you want to know when it will all end? After a time, and times, and half a time. We will see later on. Do you want to hear some of the interpretations, or should we move on?
Oh, oh yes.
No. I've been looking for that interpretation for so many years.
I suggest we leave it hanging.
Okay.
Move forward one more chapter, because we will learn other details that most of the commentaries learn shed light on this. These four words are at the root of the commentaries figuring out when Mashiach is supposed to come. Now, the Talmud says, don't try to figure it out. You're not going to know. It's not a good thing to try to figure it out. But everyone tries to figure it out. And Rashi gave an interpretation, and Rav Saadia Gaon gave an interpretation, and Rambam gave an interpretation, and we have interpretations. The bad news is that everyone's interpretation passed. Rashi's passed, and Rav Saadia Gaon's passed, and the Rambam's passed. But we will see. The good news is that we'll see. So the first, how do I know? Let's wait. We will learn. Let's see if any of us know. Gilado, just a second. So the first thing that we saw so far, if we're trying to put together the puzzle, is a time and times and half a time. So we would say 3.5x, right? A time, one, and times, two, and half a time. So our key question here is, what is a time? What's an Eidan? Okay? 3.5x. Now, it's not so simple, because another factor that we always have to factor when we try to figure out numbers in Tanakh, and this is dangerous because it gets people into trouble, but another factor that we always have to ask is, where is the starting point?
Yeah.
Let's say I know the number. It's going to be in 30 years. Okay, 30 years from when? So, what is being described here? A time and times and half a time. So, we're going to have to think about it. Maybe. Well, let's see. How many years have passed since this vision? I'm asking you, how many years have passed? So let's do simple mathematics, okay? We know the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. We have three opinions, 68, 69, or 70 of the Common Era. We're going to work with 70 just because it's a round number. It's easier to work with. Okay? Just a second. So, it's been... right now we're in 2018, so let's work with 68 because it's an 8. It's an easier number to work with. So, how many years have passed since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash?
-68.
No, do the math. 218 minus 68. So, that means 1950. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed 1,950 years ago. Yes? Mm-hmm. Am I correct in my math? Yes.
But Daniel was in the first...
We're going to get there. So the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed 1,950 years ago. Okay? Add to that 420 years for the second Beit HaMikdash was standing 420 years. So now I know that the year is... 2,370 years ago, the was the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash. Let's work backwards. We have add to that we're working backwards, right? So add to that we have 14 years of Achashverosh, right? And how many years was Koresh king before Achashverosh? I don't remember. It's in the Gemara, but I don't remember. Got to look it up. So we have one unknown over here, which is a small number. Okay, we have to look up how much Koresh was. I don't remember. 14 for Achashverosh. And remember, this vision was in the first year of Belshazzar, right? Right? That's what we saw. Add to that another 3-4 Belshazzar. So you're left with 2,387 or 86. We just have to figure out we're missing a number of years for Koresh. Okay, so 2,386 years ago, Derech was this vision. Now, do the math. Today we are 5, 7, 8, minus 2, 3, 8, 6, something like that. So we're left with 3,392. So Be'erech, Daniel is seeing this vision approximately in the year 3392, 2,386 years ago. Okay?
Rob, I found a timeline here that
oh, it would very be good.
Exactly what? 1 year before Hasbro? 2 years before
Daniel? Ah, that's because you're right. That's it. That depends on. You're saying that was that it's a good question what they're saying. It could be. Okay, so we have approximately a picture of what's going on. We're going to get back to that. That involves another question, the way they calculated it. I don't know that we'll get to it today. So we've started. We have a time and times and half a time. Okay. Let's move on. Not yet. So, but let's remember that at the end of what they call the seventh chapter, we have the first clue as to when Mashiach's coming. The first clue is this pasuk. Now we move on. We will collect clues as we go along, and then we'll try to put them all together. That's what all the commentaries did. Yes, Gilad?
Can a date change?
Yes.
Like if Shem says, I want Mashiach to come instead of originally planned this day, I will change that.
We'll get there. We will address that Bezrat Hashem. V'dina Yitiv. God was, so to speak, settled. He was happy with his judgment. V'sholtanei Yehadun. So Hashem will judge this final empire and remove its rulership. L'ashmada ulohovada ad sofa. And Hashem will remove and annihilate that kingdom completely. Umalchuta v'sholtana uvuta, and the kingship and the rulership and the greatness, the malchevat techot kol shmaya yivat lam kedishei elyonim. All the rulership will be given to that kingdom of holy people. Malchutei malchut olam, their kingship will be eternal. V'chol sholtanei leiflechun v'ishtamun. And all the rulers of the world will serve them and be adherent to their rulership. Ad ka sofa dimilta. Till here is the end of your vision, Daniel. Ana Daniel, I, Daniel, sagi, ra'ayona yevalunani. the vision I saw scared me tremendously. You see, Daniel wasn't so happy. Daniel didn't walk away and say, oh, there's going to be a Mashiach. Everything's going to be great. Daniel walked away from the vision and said, this is long. This is hard. This is terrible. This is a scary vision. Daniel says his whole appearance changed and he lost his good looks. And I kept the matter hidden in my heart. Daniel is devastated. And today we can understand why. Because Daniel understands that the Jewish people are headed for over 2 millennia of suffering. And so Daniel is devastated. Meaning no one imagined this number of years. The commentators of Sadia Gaon thought the end is in sight. Rambam thought the end is in sight. Rashi thought the end is in sight. Everyone gave a date that was within 2 centuries of when they lived. No one gave an interpretation that would last 2 millennia except Ibn Yahya. And we will learn his commentary Bezachem as we go along. The Ibn Yahya commentary right here. He gave an interpretation which we will discuss as we go along, but right now we move forward.
Daniel saw many people are going to die, right?
Yes? Right. Yeah.
Is it a good thing to rely on these interpretations of when the Mashiach?
No, we never know. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know what any of this means.
Can you ask a question?
Just a second. In just a second, I'm looking to see if it's over here or later on. So we'll see the Ibn Yahya. Okay, yes. Who had a question?
Gilad.
Could be. Everything could be.
So, with this whole vision, did he see more than it said here?
Yes.
It's kind of like a short version.
This is a short version, yes. He says, I'm only writing the headings.
So, did he see, like, maybe two colors, but might say, like, he saw certain chunks of each different chapter?
Could be. Could be.
Movie, Ben-Hur, kind of, he saw that.
Don't know.